Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topic surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
Well, thank God he's given us another beautiful day, and we're a few days closer to the rapture, which is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take his saints out of this earth, and we will be with our wonderful Lord and Savior forever. Someone has said it took God 6 days to make the creation in the beginning, but now it's been about 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus was gone. And so the Bible says that he is gone to prepare us a place. In fact, the Lord Jesus himself said that, "I go to prepare a place for you, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." And so we go to that place when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But this program is about where is God's Word, and so we uphold the King James Bible as the preserved Word of God. And today we're going to talk about some of the passages that the devil doesn't like in God's Word, and so he's eliminated them from his counterfeit versions. And everything that God does, the devil counterfeits. Jesus Christ is called the Christ, and so the devil calls himself a Christ. Jesus has a gospel, the devil has a gospel. Jesus has a Bible, the devil has a Bible. Jesus has a church, the devil has a church. Everything that Jesus does, everything that the Word of God does, the devil likes to counterfeit. We're going to talk about some of the things that have been eliminated, although there's been thousands of them have been eliminated from modern versions, such as the NIV, New International Version, New American Standard Version, a Revised Standard Version, and so on. And for a long time, people said they're just updating the King James Old English, but of course they don't. They come from another text entirely, a corrupt text of a handful of manuscripts that disagree with one another. And we have said it many times in our program that the Bible was translated in the Old Testament from the Hebrew, and in the New Testament from the Koine Greek text. And of course, the Koine Greek text, the ancient manuscripts have come down to us 99%, in fact, over 99% back the Authorized King James Bible. And yet today, many people don't know that. And so that's why we have the program. Now, some of the things that the devil does in relationship to the Word of God and the changes he have made, we'll talk about today. And first of all, the devil's main job is to question the Word of God. The first thing that the Bible puts in there about the devil comes on the scene questioning the Word of God. Now, it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." So he says, yea, first of all, yes, he talks like he's agreeing with her, and then he questions the Word of God. He says, "Hath God said?" And so we have an army of people out there that are questioning the Word of God. I have a friend that graduated with a PhD from a local college, and he said almost every course, it seems like that their main goal is to attack the Bible and put questions and doubts on the Bible, the Word of God. And I was talking to a fellow that his friend had gone to a leading Bible institute, and he graduated near the top of his class, and he was back working in the factory. And his friend said that the reason he went back to working in the factory and he's not involved in Christian work is because at the school, he said, I don't know where the Word of God is. And he was actually taught this in his school. I mean, after he got done listening to the professors, he was in a state of confusion as to where the Word of God is. And many people going to evangelical schools, they either have the false idea of where it's at or they don't know where it's at. And so that's why we have this program. And so what's it do? It just kills their enthusiasm and excitement and so on. I have been teaching in a Bible institute for over 30 years, and we've seen students go out there time after time as missionaries and gone all over the world and started churches in the United States and foreign countries, and the blessing of the Lord is on them, and they're enthusiastic and fired up for the Lord. And why? Because we tell them where the Word of God is. They know where it is, and we give them reasons why we believe that we have God's Word in the authorized King James Bible. And so they have something to stand on. If a preacher goes out and he doesn't know where it is, what's he stand on? Well, he's standing on sand and sinking sand. But Jesus says if you have a foundation, if you listen to him and what he says. So the devil's main job is to question God's Word. And so we see it on television. We see programs on there that put a question mark. They don't attack it frontally, but they attack it in, and so there's so many people out there that are in the business of attacking God's Word. They probably do it because they don't want the authority of God over their life. Jesus is Lord of our life through the Bible. Now, secondly, the devil denies God's Word. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, it states, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." And there are many preachers out there, because hell is an unpopular subject, they simply deny that it exists. And yet God said that they would die. They would spiritually be separated from God if they ate of the fruit of the tree. And it was the tree of knowledge. You know, where do they get the attack on the Bible? Knowledge. But it's not the knowledge that comes from Almighty God. It's the knowledge that comes from the Satan and the world and so on, to question and to deny God's Word. You know, you have two basic ways that they deny it. And the first is called higher criticism. And most liberal ministers are taught higher criticism, which is questioning the authors of the Bible. Now, Jesus was very clear on the scripture. He taught that it taught of him. He taught that it was perfect and it was true. It would not pass away. But they would question, then they would say, well, Daniel really didn't write Daniel. And yet we have so many proofs today that Daniel did write Daniel, because of archaeology and because of prophecy and many other things. So they would question, they would say, Moses really didn't write the first five books of the Bible. And ministers are taught this in many, many schools and seminaries all over. And yet Jesus said, you don't believe Moses, how will you believe my words? And Jesus taught that Moses wrote the five books. So if you say that Moses didn't write it, or you question that, then you're questioning Jesus himself. Now, they have another type of way to question it. It's called lower criticism. And that is, it criticizes the words of the Bible. It questions the words of the Bible. And unfortunately, unfortunately, it is taught in most evangelical schools. And when I began to study this 30 years ago, I thought, well, I'll read every single book that I can, pro or con, anything I can get my hands on. And I'll tell you, it made a believer out of me. And it made a believer in the King James Bible, because well over 99% of the Greek manuscripts generally agree with one another. There's a high level of agreement. And they back up the King James Bible. And you see, the other arguments are just, they're just made up. They're satanic, and they question the words of the Bible. And they're taught in many, many evangelical schools, but they're not taught in any depth. I think if they were taught in depth, people would start to learn the truth. Basically, an attitude is passed on by the professors. An attitude of ridiculing the people that believe in the authorized King James Bible. Now, another thing the devil does in relationship to the Bible is he distorts the words and the meaning of the Word of God. For instance, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, it's probably one of the greatest distortions in the history of Christianity. But you see in the New Testament, you see the authors, and then jump off from the Bible, we get to Clement of Rome. And Clement of Rome taught you were saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But now we get to Justin Martyr in 150, and he's in most of the church history books. And he's really confused, because what he thinks is In Genesis 3:5, Jesus says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he believed that when somebody prayed over the water, the Spirit of God entered into the water, and then it became holy water, and the water took away sins. And so that teaching started. And there was a great debate over it, and we find out that Tertullian, who probably believed that for a period of time because he could be quoted on this, he changed and he said faith alone saves. That is, receiving Jesus Christ by faith is what saves us. And Tertullian was called the father of Latin theology. And so people got confused. Now, the way on controversial scripture verses, all you have to do on almost every case is just read the next verse. And the Bible gives parallelisms. For instance, it says in the next verse, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, the water birth is the fleshly birth. And so a person must be born first physically, and then he must be born spiritually. And the whole context shows this. So St. Peter warned about private interpreters. And that is, they take a verse out of the place that it is located, and they put a private meaning on it, and they don't look at, about what it says or the explanation given. Some people say that where Jesus said in John chapter 6, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And so they teach that their minister, a priest, turns a wafer into the body, soul, flesh, and blood of Jesus Christ. Well, if they would just look at the next verses, they would see what Jesus meant. He says, the flesh profiteth nothing. And for instance, you might take a picture of your wife or your child out and say, this is my child. Well, you don't mean by that that piece of cardboard that the picture is on is your child. You say, you're using the words to say, this is a picture. You don't say picture, but when Jesus said, this is my body, he would say it was a picture of my body, and he explained that. He says, the flesh wouldn't profit nothing, eating his flesh wouldn't profit anything. But he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that my body was broken for you, and that I died for you, and my blood was shed for you, that is where the Spirit of God is. That is the spirit and the life. And the chapter in John 6 ends up with them saying they believed. And so we are to believe those words. But the devil distorts God's words. And then some of the other passages we'll talk about, the devil apparently doesn't like the resurrection. And you have a footnote in most Bibles. It's in Mark 16, verse 9 through 20. And in Mark 16, 8, it ends with they were afraid. And you have a little footnote, and it states, not found in the oldest and best manuscript. When they say oldest and best, they're referring to the Vatican Bible, which is in the Vatican, and they're referring to the Sinaiticus, which was in a waste paper basket in Mount Sinai. And these two don't have these two in there. They don't have the ending of Mark 16, 9 through 20. But they are found almost universally. I mean, the reading is found about 1,000 to 1, and it's quoted by church fathers before the Vatican Bible came out, which came out probably about the year 330. And so the devil doesn't like the resurrection. Now, Origen in Egypt, he taught a spiritual resurrection. But brother, we're not only going to rise spiritually, but the Bible says we're going to have a body of flesh and bones. We won't have blood in the body, because the flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God, but it'll be a body like Christ. Jesus said, touch me and handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And so we're going to have a body like Christ. Jesus rose bodily from the dead. If you would say that he simply rose spiritually, that wouldn't prove anything. Because anybody could say, well, I'm going to rise spiritually at some indefinite time and place, which wouldn't prove anything. But he said, I'm bodily coming out of the tomb. And so when they question Mark 16, 9 through 20, it's a big lie. The evidence is 1,000 to 1 in every way that you look at it. We always like to meet folks that are listening or talk to you or call have you call us. And we have a paper. We gave it out last week. And by the way, I've mailed all of them that have called in. And this paper shows 100 places with the references where Jesus is kicked out of the modern versions. And that is very important. You know, it says in the book of Revelation, it talks about the last church, the church of Laodicea, and Jesus was out of it. And so we have been taught for many, many years, they were saying, right before Christ comes back, the great apostasy. Well, I believe it is here, because if you kick Jesus out of the Bible, names of Jesus like Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, you have definitely mutilated the scriptures, and the modern versions do that in 100 places. Now, if you call in to our number, we will send you out this in the mail with no charge, and you can duplicate this paper and give it to your friends. Our number is 901-0933, and you can call that number. That's the local number. And then we have the long-distance number is 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. And we'll repeat that number again at the end of the program. If you'd even like to call now, the engineer can get your address, and we'll be glad to send this paper out to you for free. You can, like I say, you can duplicate the paper if you'd like to. Now, the devil doesn't like the gospel of Christ. And in Romans chapter 1, in verse 16, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But in the modern versions, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and Christ is taken out of his own gospel. Now, in another place, Paul said, beware of those that preach another gospel than I have preached unto you. And so there's many, the newspapers say somebody went out and they're preaching the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? The gospel is 1 Corinthians 15, Christ, who is God, died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose from the dead the third day. That's the gospel, see? And so the modern versions take the name of Christ out of his own gospel, and so they pervert it once again. Now, apparently another thing the devil doesn't like is believers' baptism. You know, churches that baptize infants many times, the children grow up and they have not accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, and many times they fill the church with unconverted people. You know, when you're converted, when you're born again, there is a change in your heart and life. There is a drastic change. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you love God, and you love his word, and you live a holy life, and you live a righteous life because you have been saved. You have been born again. A spiritual rebirth takes place in your life. But if you think that water baptism takes away your sins and saves you before you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, then a lot of times a person is not saved, and they're trusting in the wrong thing. Water doesn't take away sin. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, taketh away all sin. Now, when the Ethiopian eunuch was talking to Philip, the evangelist, he said to him, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip says in Acts 8:37, if thou believest that Jesus is the Son of God, thou mayest. You must believe. Well, a baby can't believe. And you must believe in Jesus Christ. And so that verse is taken out in the modern versions. And it's a key verse for believers' baptism. And then the devil doesn't like the deity of Christ. And in 1 Timothy 3:16, it states this in the King James, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, this is a very clear statement about Jesus Christ, and it point blank states that he was God. But yet the modern versions say he who was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. And there is a reason for that. As we said, 99% of the Greek manuscripts would have the Greek word theos in there, which is always translated God. And why did they take it up? Because there's many of these people that were Greek scholars, but yet their heart wasn't right. They rebelled against God. They rebelled against Jesus Christ, and they denied his deity, and so they took it out. And the manuscripts that they would use, you know, at the Council of Nicaea in 325, Constantine, who was a pagan king, called it, and he sat in charge of this council, and the council stated that Jesus was God. However, shortly after the council, his sister, who went to a church called the Church in Nicomedia, which was where Constantine had his palace, the pastor there was Eusebius of Nicomedia, who was an Arian. You see, the pagans all thought that their gods were demigods. They were neither God nor man, but they were in between. And so when they came into the church because of Constantine's efforts, they looked at Jesus as a demigod, neither God nor man. And they brought that idea. And so Constantine was baptized later on after the Council of Nicaea by Eusebius of Nicomedia, who was an Arian. He believed like a Jehovah's Witness. Jesus is not fully God. And he was the one that put out these corrupt Alexandrian manuscripts, and he was the one that put these corrupt Bibles out. This is agreed by all sides. Now, the devil doesn't like opposition to science, falsely so-called. And in science, so-called science today, they teach evolution. Charles Darwin that promoted it, Joseph Stalin read his book and killed millions of people after he became an evolutionist and a communist. Charles Darwin said the greatest thing against his theory was the fossil record, since they didn't have fossils that proved evolution. And he thought that they would find them, but 150 years has gone by and they still haven't found any fossil evidence. And the evidence that they will promote usually after a while disintegrates. But we believe that Jesus Christ is the creator, and we are warned to beware of science, falsely so-called. Well, God bless you, and trust in his word. We have it today. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.